Okay, so we're going to begin to put all the pieces together of our kol habasar limud, and in doing so, add one final element. But first, take a look. I have two charts. If we were actually in Gluck 518, you could use the board live. As I mentioned before, technologically now it's easier to have everything pre-written on the chart. I'm going to share this as soon as we wrap up this morning. I'm going to put both charts onto Classroom, so you have access to both of them. This is the overall picture of what we learned in Kol HaBasar. Is as you see, it breaks down to two areas: the Shem Basar B'Challav. That's where we began at the beginning of the parak, defining Basar B'Challav and the specific Isser of Basar B'Challav, and then we moved. And especially, we already get into it earlier in the parak, and certainly once we move to Daf Kufyud Aleph, Kufyud Beis, into issues of tam and how tam is transferred. As you saw, many of the practical issues were there. The Shem Basar B'Challav from a Yoredeya perspective, the Shem Basar B'Challav is Siman Pei Zayin. From Siman Sadi Aleph and on are in Yanei Tam. We had spent time in Siman Sadi Aleph and Maliach, a little bit in Sadi Gimel in terms of pots, and then Sadi Hay and Sadi Vav, not by not and Davar Harf. Let's just think about where we've been and lay out the overall framework, and we'll dive a little more in the second chart into the left column of this first one. So in terms of the Shein Basar B'Challav, as we had seen, the basic equation that Basar plus Chalav plus Bishul equals an Isser Daraisa. And there we had seen that was the opening sugyas. And Siman Pei Zayin Yoredeya were to define what constitutes Basar Daraisa versus not Fleishik Min HaTorah, Fleishik Midrabanan, what constitutes Milchik Min HaTorah versus only Milchik Midrabanan. Remember, we talk about Basar Chaya, Basar Of, a lot of discussion in Tanaim, from Tanaim and on, whether poultry, whether Basar Of is Fleishik Min HaTorah, Fleishik Midrabanan, or some Tanaim said it's absolutely parv, and it has to qualify as Bishul. If you have all those three ingredients, Basar Daraisa and Chalav Daraisa, and they're being combined with a process that constitutes Bishul, Min HaTorah, that's when those three elements together give you Basar B'Challav Daraisa. And when you have Basar B'Challav Daraisa, then you have all the three Isurim. We saw from Daf Kufi Gimel, the Tanam drew that from the Psukim. It's a different approach than Tanam. Where do you see that in the Psukim? The dominant view is the fact that three times the Torah says, Lo sevashel gedi b'chalei v'imo. That Pasuk fragment is repeated three times. Mishpatim kisis, and then again in Chumash Dvarim. So the Lo sevashel, the fact that Torah three times says, don't do it, tells you it. You don't have to tell me three times not to cook. That's just one iser. So that tells me the three isurim, the three different verbs, the three different activities are prohibited. You're not allowed to cook Basar B'Challav. You're also not allowed to eat it or have hana from it. As we saw, Shulchan quote from the Rashba. So then why, based on the Amoraim, so then why say Lo Sevashel three times? One time you say Lo Sevashel, the other times you say don't eat, don't have hana. Why Hotziah Kasv Achila B'Lashon Bishul? Why the Torah phrase Achila and hana as Bishul? And the answer is Derech Bishul Asr Torah. And Basar B'Challav Daraisa is only when you have that third ingredient. It has to be combined Derech Bishul. It's not enough that you have something that qualifies as Basar Min HaTorah, something that qualifies as Chalav Min HaTorah. It's only Asr Min HaTorah to eat or to have hana if you combine them Derech Bishul, which means that the Isser Bishul, as we discussed, is not really an Isser to cook Basar B'Challav. It's an Isser of creating the Cheftza called Basar B'Challav. Bishul Basar B'Challav is an Isser to make Basar B'Challav. Once it's made, it's also Asr to eat it or to have any other hana from it. If any of those three ingredients are missing, if the meat is only fleishik midrabanan, like we paskin, oaf is only fleishik midrabanan, or I'd say the milchix is not a milchix min haTorah, then it's only going to be derabanan. It could be Basar B'Challav drabanan. If what we're dealing with only Basar B'Challav drabanan, chicken cheeseburger, so then there's only an Isser Achila. There's no Isser Hana, there's no Isser Bishul. There's no Isser against cooking chicken and cheese or being paid to deliver chicken and cheese. It's mutter b'hanos, mutter b'bishel. It's only an iser achila. A Jew is not allowed to eat a chicken cheeseburger. But since we paskin, it's only of b'chol was only drabanan. It's only iser achila, no iser hana, no iser b'shel. That brought us also into the discussion of gezeira l'gezeira, right? Because once you're dealing with gezeira drabanan, that opens up the global klali issue throughout all of halacha of what are the limitations on gezeiras chazal. And it looks like we have gezeiras like gezeiras, and we dealt with that Tosfos in the Nekudas HaKesef of the Shach. And remember that this was true. It could be drabanan if the basar is not basar min haTorah, or if the chalav is not chalav min haTorah, or if both ingredients are real fleshik min haTorah, real milchik min haTorah, but they're not combined derech bishel. Right? And that was the close of the Gemara in Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. If you could turn there for a moment, let's pick up there, because that actually is a key bridge, and this is the last point going weiter that I wanted to make, in a Liman of Kalabasa, is the way in which these two bridge together. Because the Gemara there on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis before the Mishnah had been talking about what would it take to be a bishul d'oraisa? What would it take? In what way do you have to combine the basar and the chalav so that it's actually a chefta basar b'chalav min haTorah? Because you remember, I did not put this on the chart, but remember there were isurim drabanan as well that related to basar b'chalav. Besides the isurim d'oraisa of achila, hana, and bishul, there also are isurim drabanan, like waiting to milk some fleshiks, a topic that we did not get into in any great detail, and ha'alah, serving milks and fleshiks even to different people on the same table, or eating from one while the other one is within arm's reach on the table. The Gemara is trying to figure out this. This is Rabban of ha'alah. Why? It's going to lead to, that's how we got into the gzera l'gzera. What's it going to lead to? Even if I ate them together, I have milk in this plate, fleshiks in that plate, if I eat from both, they're not combined derech bishul. So the Gemara said, well, maybe it's a gzera you'll come to combine. The very end of that Gemara we had seen, up until the Mishnah, Kof Dal Beit, the Gemara had said, three lines before the Mishnah, the Gemara said, look, it's tzonein b'tzonein. You know, I'm going to eat some basang, or eat some gvinim, eat some meat, eat some cheese, that they're not combined with heat. There's no bishul. It's tzonein b'tzonein. Yes, asur midrabanan to eat them, but that's not basar b'chalav of d'oraisa. Number one, not basar b'chalav of d'oraisa. There's no isur hana, there's no isur bishul. And more so, it cannot be the reason for which we have gezeira drabanan of halah. So the Gemara had said, well, Amar Abaye, gezeira shemayala be'ilfer soseach. The concern is once you're busy with the meat and with the cheese, maybe you'll put them both into something hot, right? So maybe I'll stick them both. I may take some of the cheese and sprinkle it on my soup, on my fleshika soup. So the Gemara says, okay, b'sof sof klishenihu. Even if I sprinkle the cheese into my fleshik, in my bowl of fleshik soup, that's still not basar b'chalav of d'oraisa. Really? Yes, because it's only a klisheni. And the definition of bishul, as we discussed before Yom Tov, is bikli rishon. In the pot, the kli rishon, the pot that was actually on the fire. Once I ladle out the soup from the pot and put it into a bowl, that's the second kli. That's the kli sheni. That's not the kli whose walls are hot. And that's not generally considered to be bishul. Often, even the world of Hilchos Shabbos, we often don't consider that bishul. And the world of basar b'chalav. Kli sheni ainu mevashel, the Gemara says. Okay? The Gemara says, you're right. The real basar b'chalav of d'oraisa is gzeira shemayala be'ilfas rishon. Maybe I'll sprinkle the cheese not into my supo, but the concern of basar b'chalav of d'oraisa is maybe I'll get so carried away that I'll sprinkle the cheese into the pot of fleshik soup. The bowl of fleshik soup, that's the klisheni. I didn't heat the soup in the bowl. I heat the soup, I cook the soup in the pot. And bishul d'oraisa takes place in the kli rishon. Okay? So if I mix cheese into the kli sheni, If I sprinkle cheese into a bowl of hot fleshik soup, that's bas b'chalv d'rabbanon. That's basar and chalv combined, but I'm not allowed to eat it, but that's midrabbanon, because there was no derech bishul. I'm allowed to have hanaf from that soup. Could give it as a present to a non-Jewish neighbor if they would be interested. Right? There's no isser against, no isser bishul. You're allowed to sprinkle cheese into your bowl of fleshik soup. I mean, why would you want to? Now you can't eat it. But it's not an act of bishul bas b'chalv, and it's not bas b'chalv deraisa because it's not derech bishul. Derech bishul means bishul b'kli rishon. And that, Rabosai, is the bridge to the second half of our limud, to the world of Tam. Let's bring up the second chart. Because you see, let's stick with the first chart for a moment. In the world of Inyan Etam, we had spoken about the concept of Tam Kaker. That's where it all comes from. The din, we said, the Gemara derives from various psukim. Most likely a din, the most Rishonim understand, Maskanas of the Gemara is a din daraisa, that Tam Keiker, that even though we could differentiate between Be'en and Tam, a differentiation, a conceptual differentiation that we've become across repeatedly as recently as today, between actual chunks of treif of food or chunks of fleshik versus milchik versus the Tam, versus just the absorption of flavor. But Tam Keiker, the absorbed flavor does count, just like I can't eat a piece of chazir, I also cannot eat potato with tam of chazir. So that was the concept of tam kicker that already came up at the beginning of Kol Basar, and that we jumped into much more fully when we came to Kufid Aleph and Kufid Beis. And if you think about it, in terms of the details of Inyan Etam, which is where most of the halacha lemaisa was, and that's been our limud over the last couple of weeks, beforehand and certainly the last couple of weeks, it really breaks down to these five questions. These are sort of the five dimensions. If I could graph something in five dimensions for you, that would be great. But it really are five questions that lay out what we discussed in the practical aspect of bas b'chalv. Let's take a zoom into these five questions. I'm going to go to the second chart, an inset. Here we go. The five questions. How? How much? How far? How many steps? And for how long? This really lays it all out. The first question is how. That's how is time transferred? We spoke about there are different methods of time drifts. There's not going to be any, if two cold things just I have cold meat and cold cheese sitting on top of each other, just lying there. There's no transfer of flavor from one to the other. Again, there may be be'en, as we said. There could be residue you have to clean off, but no absorbed flavor. If we're talking about tam, not just be'en, there needs to be, number one, some method of tam transfer. What's the engine? What's the method? How is it traveling? So again, we spoke about four different possible methods of tam transfer. Heat. Saltiness, kavush, and charif. That was the first question. How is it being transferred? Again, in each of these items, there was something added. I put kavush in parentheses. We didn't get into the sugya of kavush in great detail. Working backwards, we just spoke about charif, and we saw that for davar charif to convey tam, to transfer tam, you have to have davar charif plus duchka. By maliach, we saw there was a machlokas harishonim. Does maliach transfer flavor even when things are manukav, even when there's good drainage? And yes, there's salty liquid, salty blood, but it's flowing right by. Everything is drained out because of a clean manukav. That was a machlokas. Well, can maliach work so quickly that the flavor of the blood array gets into the pan? Or no, it's only if it's in a manukav and it's actually pooling. And in terms of heat, here's the bridge from the beginning of the parak. There actually is a machlokas. The Gemara said clearly on Kuvdal Mabez that Kli Sheni Einu Mevashel, Kli Sheni does not create a shame Basar B'chalav. Going back, zooming back out to the first chart, right, where we see the whole picture. In terms of shame Basar B'chalav and Bishul, to create a Chal Hashem Basar B'chalav, the concept Basar B'chalav, that has to be Bishul. And if it's not Bishul, it's not Basar B'chalav. And we say it has to be Kli Rishon. Right? The Gemara is very, very clear and explicit. We just saw a couple of moments ago. If I combine the cheese and the meat in a kli sheni, it doesn't make bas b'chav. Okay. So how about, forget about bas b'chav of deraisa. Was there any transfer of flavor at all? Let's say I had a piece of treifus that I stuck into the kli sheni. Does it make everything else treif? Or the basar and the chalav? I scoop out all the cheese. So I scooped out all the cheese. Do I have to be worried that I already gave flavor into the soup? Well, it's not bishul. It's not bishul, but there's still a transfer of flavor. Right? There could be transfer of flavor. It doesn't make basar and chalav. If I pickle basar and chalav together, so there's a transfer of flavor. That's kavush or maliach. Right, but it doesn't make basar b'chalav. Basar b'chalav has to be, as we saw at the beginning of the parak, with heat. It has to be bishul. So how about kli sheni? So kli sheni doesn't count for bishul in terms of the shein basar b'chalav. Does kli sheni count, though, on the left side of the page, in terms of general tam transfer? And this comes up all the time. You took a bowl of fleishik soup, chicken soup, in a fleishik bowl. And then you ladle the chicken soup in the fleishik bowl, so far so good. Then you stuck in a milchik spoon. So I could pull out the milchik spoon. I'll kasher. Do I have to kasher the milchik spoon? Do I have to throw out the soup? Did the spoon give its milchik flavor into the soup or not? If I stuck a milchik ladle into the hot pot of chicken soup, that's a kli rishon. That's real heat. Now let's zoom in again on the left side. So heat is one of our methods of tam transfer. Certainly in a kli rishon, there is tam transfer. How about a kli sheni? That's an open question in the rishonim. We are machmer lechatchila and mekel b'dieved. It's machlokas tosas Ramban. So do not use your milchik spoon in your hot bowl of soup. Lechatchila, we avoid that. But b'dieved is already done. We would not throw anything out. Lemaisa, if things get into a kli, the heat of a kli sheni doesn't make things treif. And that's the one added new chiddush here. All the rest of this is chazara. The first question, again, the first dimension of our discussion about tam is how tam transferred. Four methods. Heat, with a question about kli sheni. Maliach, with a question about manuka. Kavush, and charif, which requires a combination of the sharpness of the food and the ducha de sakin, the pressure of the knife, the fork, or the grinder. That was the first question. How? What are the methods of tam transfer? The second question was, how much? How much flavor has to go in to create an issue? So the Mishnayos had said, in quotes, benos in tam. We saw the Gemara on Daf Tzadi Zayin unpacked that. Well, what do you mean benos in tam? How do I know if it's enough to give flavor? How do you assess that? And the Gemara had said, three ways to assess it. You might have a Jew tasting it, if it's a kosher flavor, like a Kohen tasting to see if there's Truma, or any Jew tasting to see if it's Milchik or Fleishik. If it's a non-kosher flavor, you're going to need a Kefela Arma, the non-Jewish baker. And finally, the Gemara said, when those aren't options, either you don't have a taster available, or both kosher and treif have the same flavor, then you go with Shishim. Just look at the numbers, see if it's Bata 1 to 60 ratio or not. Within the world of Kefela, we saw a four-way machlokas where he showed him, why does the kefela work? Why is he neman? Is it, as Rashi said, because he's misiach lefitumo? He's just having a casual conversation, doesn't realize that it really matters. That's why he's neman. The Gemara says that in other contexts. Rashi thinks it's true here also. Tosa says because he's an uman, because he's a kefela. He has a professional reputation to protect. The Rashba had said either one is enough. Either Mesiach Leputumo or Uman, either one works. And finally, the Rambam had said, the way Arsa Mecha read the Rambam, any Nachri is believed, even if he's not a professional, even if he's not Mesiach Leputumo. And the reason is because this is a Milstav Lugaluye, a third logic behind his Nemanus. This is something that's going to we're soon going to know whether he was telling the truth or not. As Arsa Mech stressed, it's a Milstav Lugaluye Miyad. It's immediate. He tells us it doesn't taste like shrimp. We'll try it right away. It's not that next week we'll find out. In the next minute we'll find out. So those are the four approaches to why kefela is neman. Of course, as we said, The Shulchan Aruch follows the Gemara that you can use the kefela when relevant. The Rama has a minhag not to use the kefela, always to use shishim. And we discuss why that might be. Rabbi Akiva Eiger had chalked it up to this machlokas, Rashi and Tosis. We're not sure which type of nachri to use, and that's why we just avoid it, while the Svardim have a more broad approach to why kefela is neman, and that's why it's easier for Svardim to rely on kefela. The third question, which we got into only grazingly, only very slightly, we mentioned, was a question of how far once a flavor is absorbed, how far does it travel within the target piece of food? When it lands, how deep does it go in? Sometimes it goes in bekulo, sometimes it goes in an inch, kedei netila, like we saw Shulchan Aruch quoted about davar harv, and sometimes even less, just kedei klipa, just the first peel. I think he gave you in parentheses the Rosh HaTevis. You'll see kaf nun for kedei netila and kaf kuf for kedei klipa. Again, depending on which method of time transfer and some other details, that'll determine how far. We did not get into that, but obviously that's important for knowing how much is possibly treif and for the question of how much. In terms of shishim, you have to know how much flavor fell in and how far did it go. And then questions 4 and 5. Question 4 is a question of how many steps. How many steps does a flavor transfer? How far is how far within a one piece of food? But how many steps over time? So the most direct type of flavor transfer is ochel to ochel. If I cook basar and chalav together, I cook meat and potatoes together, I cook bacon and potatoes together. So the flavor goes from one to the next. That's the most direct. Then you can have one step removed, kedera into ochel. I have I cook milk in a fleisha kapat. That was a tosefta. Ochel to ochel was the mishnah kufches. Kedera to ochel was the tosefta in trumas quoted by the gemara. Kedera shebishu basar lo yivashu b'chalav. And then even more steps removed was not from the fleisha pot into the milk, but from the fleisha pot into the parva food, and then subsequently from the parva food into the milk. That's what we call not bar not, no sentam bar no sentam. And we said no sentam bar no sentam in principle is only aser if it's, as Aran said, not bar not di isura. Or, as we just learned, not bar not is also a problem in a davar charif. And then, as we said, the Ramah has a chumra based on the Rivan that if it's nisbashlu, not barnat is also a problem. Got to add that to the chart. And then finally, the question was for how long? For how long will a absorbed flavor endure? So number one, if it's ha'ochel or ba'ochel, the original food, a piece of bacon, it stays treif until it gets rotten, right? Or if the flavor got into another food. Ba'ochel, right? If I cook bacon and potatoes together, the potatoes are flesh, are treif, and stay treif. If I cook the potato with meat, the potato from the chalent will stay fleshic. It doesn't stop being fleshic. Flavor of the food itself retains its status as long as the food is not spoiled, or flavor that gets absorbed into another food retains its status. If it goes into a kli, though, then already it depends. If flavor gets absorbed not into other foods, but into a kli, if it's a kli ben yomo, if it's still within 24 hours, that's an active flavor. It can go and make trouble elsewhere. But if it's a kli she'eno ben yomo, if the flavor got absorbed into a kli, flavor from food, obviously, flavor starts with food, but flavor from food gets absorbed into a kli, and then it waits there for 24 hours, it's no longer ben yomo, no longer within the day. So then we said, the kli retains its status of, if it became fleshik, it stays fleshik. You shouldn't use it with milchik, but it can no longer impact anything else. An eino ben yomo flavor cannot impact, it won't make the next food it gets into trey for fleshik, unless that next food is a davar harv. Rak la davar harv, only into a davar harv. So this really brings everything together. It really brings all of our kolabas or limud, together into really a series of two charts. One chart within the next. That second chart is an inset, is detail within the 5 questions on the first one. So I hope this chazar is a useful chazar. Obviously, there are more details to fill in. I think this really brings a lot of what could be disparate pieces into a single framework. And once you have a framework, so then as you chazar more pieces, they all hang together. You can know where they fit and where they, you can use these charts and build them out more. And instead of just being disparate pieces, you have an organized web of ideas that you can really hold on to and synthesize, remember, and really master and be Kona.